Father, as we go to this service this evening, Lord, I strip myself of every confidence that I might yet have in my own heart, in my knowledge or ability to share your word. Rather, Father, I duck under coffin of my spiritual parents, pastor and mommy, as they behold our order here this evening. Father, I look to you for mercy, to help to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me to speak, Lord, as an oracle of God, to be concise and to precise, that as your word goes forth this day, it will cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened by revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to further control by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, doing an internal and eternal work in our hearts and lives. Father, I also ask for grace to redeem time, not to say things that are unnecessary, bringing out of your word, both the treasure of your word, both things, both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Get mercy to overcome abounding iniquity. And I'll put on scriptures, read some scriptures, and I'll begin to explain by the help of the Holy Spirit what I mean by that. Let's open our Bible to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 15. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 15. Mercy to overcome abounding iniquity. Pastor and mommy have declared that this year is a year of the fullness of God's mercy to triumph always in every situation and every circumstance. What does it say? 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 15. Oh, it's here to be put on the board. This is where God was talking to David. Let's read together. But my mercy and loving kindness shall not depart from him. Who is him? David. The scripture is talking about David. When he decided to build a tabernacle for God, so God sent Nathan to him. So God now says, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I put away before thee. This is what we call the sure mercies of David. God said, my mercy will not depart from him. Please remain in verse 15, please. This is that my mercy will not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul. Next scripture we're going to look at is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. What does it say? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, please. This is where God was talking to Saul through Samuel. And he said, please, can you change it to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23? Thank you. Let's read together. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Let's say together again. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. It says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and what again? Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Let's look at the third scripture, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. It says that, and because iniquity shall abound, are you following me? The love of many shall wax cold. Please, Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. It says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So, let me repeat the title again, the mercy to overcome abounding iniquity. The first scripture we read talks about God not taking his mercy away from David as he took it away from Saul. That means Saul had the mercy of God upon him before. The second scripture says that for rebellion is as a sin of what? Witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And last scripture says that because in this end time iniquity will abound, and the love of what? Many will ask God. Well, Lord Jesus Christ that mentioned that he was talking to his disciples, which is automatically applies to us because he's talking about the end time. What is happening at this time? Let me put some definitions behind this as we continue. What is the mercy of God? Pastor has told us many times. What is mercy? It is the power of God from the air. It's the power that God releases from the air. And the way we tap into it is through honesty of heart. You know, Psalm 145, we don't have to turn to verse 9, says that God's tender mercies are over all his works. And this mercy has three things it does. It enables us, I've been taught many times, not to be consumed. Book of Lamentations. The mercy of God is upon us, so I will not be consumed. The second thing it does is that it helps us to be faithful. And the third thing is that it helps us to triumph always. Let's say it together. The mercy of God is the power of God released upon us from the air, and it enables us to what? First of all, not to be consumed. And then the second thing is it helps us to be faithful. Paul said, as one has obtained mercy, to be faithful. And the third thing, as we have, Pastor and Mama have started this year, it will help us to triumph always. Praise the Lord. So then, what then is iniquity? We have defined mercy is the power of God from the air that God releases upon us. It helps us not to be consumed, helps us to be faithful, and also helps us to triumph always. Then what then is iniquity? This is the definition I put down. Iniquity is the spiritual force of lawlessness behind sin, with its origin from Satan, operating through the air and through the hearts of men. Let's say together, iniquity is a spiritual force of lawlessness behind sin, with its origin from Satan, operating through the air and through the hearts of men. That is what iniquity is. In the book of Ezekiel, it talks about Satan. He said, when God created him, he said it was perfect, but iniquity was found where? In him. In Ephesians 2:2, it talks about the prince of the power of the air. So this is what iniquity is. Mercy is from the outside. Then Satan also is the origin and the source of iniquity. And this iniquity operates in the air and also to the hearts of men, either born again or whether they're not born again. Are you following me? I will enjoin us to review Pastor's Weekly Rhema in weeks 4, 5, and 7. This is where I got this message from, about the mercy of God to enable us to overcome abounding iniquity. Praise the Lord. So, as we continue, what does mercy do? Or how will God help us to tap into the mercy of God to overcome the abounding iniquity, so that our love will not wax cold? You see, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ said, he said, in this end time, the love of many will wax cold. Why? Because of the abounding iniquity. Praise the Lord. What happens is this. Pastor in his book, I said something. He said that Satan uses rebellious and stubborn hearts as an avenue or portal or a platform through which to release the power, even the force of iniquity into the earth, and to counterfeit and to distort God's purpose. You see, when what Satan does is this. For iniquity to operate in the earth, he looks for the hearts of men that are rebellious and stubborn. So you see, once somebody's heart is rebellious and stubborn, that heart has already been presented to the enemy to you. So he releases his power to that heart to do different things, as we'll see as we continue. It's very important. That's why Jesus Christ, in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Let's open there. Talking about this end time. He said, Lord, he said, many will come unto me. Let's put it on the board. He said, many will come unto me in that day. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, please. He said, many will come to me in that day. Let's together. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Next verse. Thank you, Jesus. Next verse. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Next verse. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Let's say, God, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. You see, they did. He's talking about leadership here. He said, many will come to me in that day, and this day we are in, like Pastor has taught us. And will say, have we not done many miracles in your name? Have we not done many signs and wonders in your name? And Lord Jesus will tell them and say, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Iniquity there, it means lawlessness. That is, they did miracles, they did signs and wonders, but did not do it by the power of God. If you remember in the book of Thessalonians, it says that it talks about the work of faith with power. But see, we are operating a different law. The law of iniquity, lawlessness, to do miracles, signs, and wonder. And you see, why does Satan take advantage of these hearts? Hearts that are stubborn and rebellious. Because he uses that to deceive God's people. I was watching some time ago, I had to rest about last week. I was at home. I put on the TV. I was watching some programs on TV. And I listened to what they were saying. You see, if you're not careful and you watch all of this, you will not be able to discern. Because they will say things so simple. Things that don't edify, like Papa Kelly said, the man-centered, need-oriented, entertainment-based. The man was just talking about fables. And then he gave an altar call. You know, he gave that altar call. Everybody started running to the altar and they fell on the floor. I had to say to myself, I said, God, what is going on here? Then God spoke to me. He said that it is a force of iniquity that is operating. It is operating already in the church. The spirit of lawlessness. Praise the Lord. So why is this message very important to us? We need to know why it is important, so we'll not be deceived. And then we're able to take care of our heart. Paul says that we should take it to ourselves and our hearts, that we don't get to that place that our hearts become stubborn and rebellious, and then present it to Satan for him to use. That would not be our portion in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Why is this message very important for us? It is very important because, you see, as the major purpose of Satan is to hinder God's people from growing so they can inherit the fullness of spiritual measure. See, what he does is this: when he wants to keep the church in spiritual babyhood, so we don't grow. I know that once we don't grow, we cannot fulfill God's purpose for our lives. I put this point down, put 2 points down here. I say, the spirit of Lord says is at work and has increased in its operation with the main purpose of hindering us from fulfilling our destiny, which is the perfection and the fullness of Christ, with the consequent release of his spirit without measure. This is what I was saying. Our destiny as Christians is not to die and go to heaven. We said it a lot of times. It's for us to grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and then inherit the spirit without measure. But see, Satan knows that once he can get the crop of people on the earth that can grow to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, then we can fulfill our destiny and close this age. So what he does is this: he looks for people in the church, the sole leadership, like we heard earlier on. God said, I've taken my mercy away from him. And the leadership in the church today, we call it Saul leadership. They have refused to do what God told them to do. And they are operating the force of iniquity, like where they don't. He said, iniquity is an idolatry. Iniquity is like as stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Are you following me? So the second point, you see, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, it says that this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says that, 23, he says that God, the God of peace, sanctify you, and your whole spirit, soul, and body be made preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know all the scriptures. That is the purpose of God for the church, for us to grow from babyhood to maturity, and then inherit the spirit without measure. So what Satan does is this: in order for us not to attain that purpose, that he has joined the church and is operating the hearts of stubborn leaders like Saul. And they use this force of iniquity, lawlessness, to perform various miracles and signs and wonders to deceive people. And as it also kept them in spiritual bondage. Praise the Lord. Let's move our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Just put some scripture behind this as we move on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, please. It says that for, let's look at that. But Romans 8, chapter 29. Lord have mercy. From whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Next verse. Thank you, Jesus. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. That is our purpose. That is our destiny. It should be clear in our minds. God has called us, like Pastor taught us last Sunday, I believe, or 2 Sundays ago, to obtain the glory of God. And you see, we cannot obtain that glory if we don't go to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. So the second important thing we need to note is that if we don't get to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we cannot fulfill God's purpose of going to the ends of the world to break, to rule, and to disciple the nations. It's very important. If we don't fulfill the first part, we can never fulfill the second part. And once we don't fulfill the second part, we'll continue on this roaming in the wilderness, and Satan is happy and enjoys the thing happening. So what he does is he fuels this Saul leadership in the church. He allows them to have power. He doesn't mind. They will preach all kinds of prosperity message. He doesn't mind. As long as God's people don't grow to the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, we keep on allowing his power, this force of iniquity, to do all kinds of miracles, and then we'll just sit down and wait. Whereas the scripture says in Matthew 24, verse 14, that's our Bible's there. Matthew 24, 14, what does it say? It says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Let's look at it. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. The gospel of the dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ, spirit, the character of God in our spirit, soul, and body. That is the gospel that God has commissioned us to preach to the ends of the world. But we cannot preach that gospel until we first of all grow into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then God now grants us the spirit of that measure. That spirit of that measure will take to the ends of the earth to preach that gospel. Then the end will come. But the end can never come if the church remains in this state in which you see the force of iniquity operating in the church, doing all kinds of signs and wonders to deceive the people. Are you following me? So what are we saying? It is currently operating through the Saul leadership in the church. And I'll read the scripture in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, Paul was talking to the Thessalonian church. He said that the spirit of the mystery of iniquity is already. Are we there? Okay, let's read God. It says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until it be taken out." We're talking about the perfect church. Next verse. Let's read together, please. "And then shall that wicked one be revealed." Talking about the Antichrist. But see, what I want us to notice, he said here that Paul said at his own time, said the mystery of iniquity is already at work. So he's not just going to start. He said it's already working. So you can imagine what is happening. What is iniquity? Iniquity is lawlessness. That just Christ said, there, he said, "Depart from ye that walk iniquity," lawlessness. So let's say that, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's going to happen later on. Are you following me? Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's look at that. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all what? Power and signs and lying wonders." So Paul said, he said that the mystery of iniquity at his own time was already working in the church. It's already working. Iniquity means lawlessness. Are you following me? Next verse. What does it say? "And with all deceivableness," let's read, "and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Why? "Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." It is very important. You see, we read three scriptures at the beginning. The first one, we said that God took his mercy away from Saul and he gave it to David. Second scripture said that, look, that talking about Saul, he said that Saul, he said, Samuel told him, he said that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So that is why God took that mercy away from him. And he said that day, the day that God took him, talked to him, and Samuel told him, said, "You have ceased to be king. Our destiny is to be kings, vitally speaking, in Christ Jesus." Just Christ said, the book of John said, "For this purpose was I born, that I be a king." And he said that I might bear witness to the truth. So because of this situation, that ability to continue as king was taken from Saul. Are you following me? So this is what it says. It says that because they rejected the word of the Lord, God also rejected him. No, put it back in 2 Thessalonians, please. Verse 10. Well, why is it? It says that that mystery, it works all kinds of miracles. It says that lying wonders. That mystery of iniquity, that lawlessness. If you can connect to the matter with our word earlier on. Are you following me? It says that, why is it? And with all, deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. It's not talking about unbelievers alone. It's also talking about Christians. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Praise the Lord. What are we saying? You see, if you open to, I'll just quote 2 Thessalonians 2:7 in NIV. It says this, "For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work." Thank you, Holy Spirit. He calls it power. Like I said, that power works from the air and impinges upon the minds of men and upon the, activates the sin nature in the soul and the flesh. And this, once you present your heart in that state, what will happen? Satan begins to operate through that person or that leadership, and they begin to do lying signs and wonders to deceive people. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Let's look at the Amplified Bible in verse 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are we there? In Amplified, "For the mystery of lawlessness
let's say that hidden principle of rebellion against constituted authority is already at work in the world, but it is restrained only until he who restrains is taken out of the way. What I want to say is, say the mystery of lawlessness, that hidden principle, let's say that hidden principle of rebellion is what is already at work in the world. You see, that lawlessness, he was going to end up in rebellion. So when we talk about rebellion, we think of somebody has done something very terrible, very bad. Pastor said, look, rebellion is doing God's thing your own way. God says something, say, do this thing this way. Then you turn and you do your own thing that way. That's what Saul did. What did Saul do? God sent Samuel to him and said, go and kill all the Amalekites, the cattle and everything. And you know that story. Saul went there. He did not do everything. He said, he kept Agag and some cattle. He said he wanted to do sacrifice for the Lord. Observe, Tom, this same Samuel that kept Agag and some of the cattle and did not obey God, when he was chasing David all about the place, he killed all the priests of Nob. Which means that it's not that he could not do it, but it was just rebellion. So that's, it was that, this thing that he did that made Samuel tell him that, look, why have you, you see, obedience is better than sacrifice. What are we saying? You see, like Pastor taught us, you see, it doesn't start with that rebellion. It starts with dishonesty of heart. God reveals something to you, but you pretend as if you don't know. Once you do that, the next stage is you will enter into unbelief. That unbelief acts as a disconnect of a life and the light of God from your heart. So once you can't, it's because once you, the mercy of God from the outside is given to those that are honest. So once God reveals something to you and you pretend as if you don't accept that truth because they love not the truth, what happens? Mercy is reduced. Life and light is reduced. So what happens? You enter into unbelief. You don't believe again. After that, because automatically, because you do not believe, you will disobey that instruction. And once you disobey that instruction, the next stage is that you'll be rebellious. You lead to rebellion. And then finally, stubbornness. Pastor taught us some weeks ago about all these things. I'm just mentioning for us to understand. That's how it starts. It starts from being dishonest. You see, these people that we are talking about, it says that they did not love the truth. That was the problem. Praise the Lord. How does this thing operate in the church? I said, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Truth there has two levels, like Pastor said. The first one is dishonesty of heart, like I said. It's not accepting obvious self-evident truth in your heart, which causes a withdrawal of God's light, leading to an obscurity of the invisible and spiritualities of God existing and his power. You see, when you don't accept truth at that level, you deny the truth, then the invisible things of God about his creation, about God himself, becomes obscure. You don't see it again. Then you say, I don't believe that thing, Jerry. Talks about in the book of Romans chapter 1. So once you enter, that person enters into unbelief, that disconnect, the next thing that he will enter into disobedience. The book of Hebrews chapter 3, he says something. He says that Hebrews 3, he talks about the children of Israel in the wilderness. He said that they could not enter into the land because of unbelief. If you look at the margin, it says because of disobedience. Now went on to say that he said that beware of the deceitfulness of sin. He says sin does what? It will harden the heart. So once the heart is hardened, what happens? That person becomes stubborn. That's the state of Saul. Saul started very well. Was very humble. When they made the king, he ran away. You know that story. But you see, at the end of the day, when he started disobeying God, or let me put it, the instructions that Samuel gave him, he got to that state whereby he started doing what he wanted to do. I will show you that the second aspect of truth is this. We need to know the second aspect of truth from that scripture is the truth about the total salvation of our spirit, soul, and body. He said they receive not the love of truth that they might be saved. That saved there is total salvation of the spirit, soul, and body. So you see, when you love not, when they don't receive the love of the truth, which is the state of the majority of the church in today, they don't believe that it is possible to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So once you don't believe the aspect of truth, you open yourself to deception, to the influence of the spirit of iniquity, that spirit of lawlessness, and begin to follow signs and wonders. Praise the Lord. So that is the second aspect of truth. Now, and also, that is why at this time, God needs to change the leadership. He's going to change that leadership from Saul, the kingship from Saul to David, and then the priesthood from Eli to Samuel. You see, let's look at the life of Moses. See, God told Moses, he said, when they were standing before the rock, he said, speak to the rock and water will come out. But instead of that, Moses was very angry, you know, that's the way, and he took his rod and he smote the rock. He told Moses, and water came out. And they all drank water. But how did God see it? God called it rebellion. And it cost Moses the promised land. Let's open our Bible's book of, Numbers 20. Let's just touch briefly. Numbers 20. You see, God told him, you see, I said, rebellion is doing God's thing your own way. God says, do this thing this way. Then you go and do it the other way. And thinking that God will accept it, he will never accept it. If he don't accept it for Moses, he will not accept it for you and I. That is why he has to remove this present leadership, the Saul leadership. Saul has to go to give in to David, a man after God's heart, who will do all of his own will. Are we there? Lord, have mercy. Numbers 20, verse 10. He said, well, my soul. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Let's put verse 11 because of time. Next verse. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And what happened? Water came out abundantly. Iniquity. When he did that thing, water came out. Everybody drank water. They were happy. After they drank water, God now spoke to Moses. Verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. Let's sit together. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. Because what? You believe me not. Unbelief. And not to sanctify me in the eyes of all the children of Israel. Therefore you shall do what? You shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. God said, because what? He did not sanctify me. He said that. God said, speak to the rock, Moses. Speak to the rock. He held that rod and he spoke. What I want to see is that in spite of the fact that he did something wrong, water still came out. A lot of that is happening in the church today. Lying, signs and wonders. But it cost Moses his destiny. Verse 23. Let's just get verse 23, please. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 23, please. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, let's read together. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because what? You did what? Rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Doing God's thing your own way. That's the problem of Saul. That is the problem of Saul. Saul did God's will his own way. David, God testified about him, said, he's a man after my own heart who will do all of my will. David too made a mistake. What did David do when they are bringing back the ark? What did David do? When they were bringing that back the ark the first time, he put on the cart. We will not know another story of he was following the example of the Philistines. Are you following me? So when they were bringing it back, they were rejoicing. All of a sudden, the ark stumbled. And the Bible says that God was very angry and smote Uzzah. And Uzzah died. You know that story. Then David went back and began to pray. Why did this happen? See, the Philistines, the Bible represents the demonic. So when they were bringing it back, you see, when we talk about witchcraft, there is passive witchcraft and active witchcraft. So at times, these people, they practice passive witchcraft. Are you following me? So when he now went back and he studied the word, I now saw how God had written in the Bible that they should carry the ark. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12. We are talking about rebellion here. Doing God's thing your own way. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are we there? 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12.
and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for you. Next verse. He now gives the reading. Say, for because ye did it at the first, our Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not afterward due order. Let's say, for we sought him not after due order. Particularly what he taught on Sunday about oversight, beholding, the joy and the behold your order. There's an order in the church. Everything must be done in order. As they are bringing out, they accept that the next time they are going to bring it back, they now told the Levite to come and carry it. And they were moving 6 places, like Pastor Toto, and they will sacrifice. 6 places and they will sacrifice. But before then, they did that thing their own way. And in God's eyes, it was rebellion. Are you following what I'm trying to say? You see, we say, I think that rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. You see, what is witchcraft? When you try and deceive somebody, use magic or whatever. That is, it says, when you rebel against God something, and that thing still comes to pass, like through the force of iniquity, people will deceive. They won't say, but he still did that same thing and something happened. The people are deceived. They are not sure about how God wanted you to do that thing because you have done that thing your own way. Praise the Lord. So like Pastor Gloria was thinking about divine order. There's an order in the word of God for us to do things. You remember in the Bible when Jacob was sleeping on his way to Laban's house, he got to a place and he slept and he said he had a dream. And there was a ladder that was set up over him from heaven. Are you following me? And he said he saw angels ascending and descending. Genesis. And he said the Lord was on top of it. That is divine order. You have a Lord at the top of the ladder. You have angels, which means talking about mature spiritual leadership, ascending and descending. And you have Jacob, fully submitted followership under that ladder. That is divine order. You see, so God is asked to restore order back to the church. Are you following me? So, what are we saying? That story is the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 11 to 13. When I was reading my Bible this morning, it was sort of a coincidence. Because after I prepared, my Bible is for today, was talking about this aspect of human laws of the Saul leadership. And the Bible says, Zachariah says, I will call Saul against my shepherd. And it so happened that my Bible study for this morning, in the book of Jeremiah 48, verse 10, it says the same thing. It says that, cursed is he that doeth the work of God deceitfully. Are you following me? Put it there, Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10. Thank you, Amplified. Jeremiah 48 verse 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Are you there? It says that, as I read this morning, talking about these people that God is going to remove, this Saul system in the church, it says that, Jeremiah was talking, says, cursed be he who does the work of the Lord negligently with what? Slackness and deceitfulness. You know, Ephesians says that, with cunning craftiness. Are you following me? They lie in wait to deceive the people. They take the word of God, they twist it a bit, like Pastor, omit the weightier matters of the law. When we talk about prosperity, they will omit the conditions and they will preach a gospel that will send leanness to the soul of people. So God is saying, see, that cursed be he that does God's word deceitfully. Paul said, having obtained mercy, I've renounced what the hidden things of deceitfulness. I no longer walk in craftiness or hand God's word deceitfully. Praise the Lord. So you see, in the book of Mark chapter 12, Jesus Christ was talking about the vineyard. He gave a parable. He said that, that there was a guy, he built a vineyard and he gave it to all the husbandmen and he said they should take care of it. He said, when he sent the servants, they killed this one, they did all that. And in the verse 9, he says something. He said, what shall he do when he comes back? He said, what shall the Lord of the vineyard do when he comes back? He said, what? He said, he was going to destroy those people that gave that vineyard. Why are you looking like Mark chapter 12? It says, what shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He said, he will come and destroy the husbandmen and will do what? He will give the vineyard to others. So you see, this is the state of the church right now. There is this force of iniquity that is operating through the Saul system. And it is deceiving the people. Bible calls it the mystery of iniquity. And God is raising up another leadership, the David kind of leadership, who will do all of God's will, who will not twist the word of God to suit what they want to do. Even though when they do these things using the word of God cunningly, what happens? Things still happen and then people are what? They are deceived. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? So, but what are we saying? We have said earlier that we need the mercy of God in this day to overcome abounding iniquity. You see, it's going to take the mercy of God to overcome the abounding iniquity. The Bible says that
where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. It's not only grace that abounds, mercy also must abound. Why? Because you see, it takes the mercy of God. Like Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says that I have received mercy of the Lord. Having received mercy of the Lord to be faithful, I have renounced the eating of his honesty. I no longer walk in craftiness. How did the word of God deceive me? It's going to take the mercy of God from the outside upon our hearts to renounce these hidden things of dishonesty, to renounce iniquity. Are you following me? So I'll put the scriptures behind it. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. What does it say? Let's read together. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from what? All iniquity, not some. The reason why Jesus Christ died for us is to redeem us from all iniquity. Everything. Lawlessness. The effect of lawlessness. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The end point is that God wants to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a holy nation, zealous of good works. This same thing is talking about perfection of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. That when God redeems us and removes every form of iniquity and for lawlessness, the operation of that law in our circumstances. Paul says something. He said, I find the law warring my members, bringing me into captivity the law of sin. He said, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? He said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What does it say? How much better is it to get... My God, have mercy. But... it is well. Let's together. By mercy and truth, what is done? Iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By mercy and truth. Mercy is the power of God from the outside. Truth, honesty of heart. Iniquity is purged. When we pray every time, you see, God will purge our conscience from if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So it's going to take the mercy of God and truth to purge iniquity. Are you following me? And by the fear of the Lord, men will depart from me. So what are we saying? God has pronounced this year as a year of the fullness of the mercy of God for us to triumph always. So we need that mercy to overcome the abounding iniquity in the air. Are you following me? And then we will overcome that iniquity in the air. God will use that mercy again to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works in the name of Jesus Christ. So how is this going to happen as we begin to round up? You see, because it's not just going to happen like that. It's going to happen this way. It's going to happen as we wholly follow true spiritual fathers through obeying their instructions. Like Pastor Amon, we were sharing on Sunday after Pastor Kule ministered. See, the problem with Saul was not when God said something. God said, go and tell us, you told Samuel, say, Saul has departed from me, he's no longer following me. You see, Saul stopped following the Lord when he stopped obeying Samuel's instructions. We need to see that. The Bible says that we should follow on to know the Lord. But see, there's no way you can follow on to know the Lord if you don't follow the person that God has put over you. That's the story of Samuel. You see, God was not talking to Saul directly, even though I believe I had a relationship with God. But God would say, it was God that sent Samuel to Saul. Said, Saul, Samuel told Saul, go and kill all the Amalekites and all that. Then he disobeyed. So when God was going to talk in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15:11, see, God said, it has repented me. He was telling Samuel, he said, it has repented me. Why? That Saul has stopped following me. But you see, Saul stopped following the Lord when he stopped obeying Samuel. That's what I want us to see. We are talking about divine order. Are you following me? There's a divine order. It was Samuel that gave Saul the instruction from God that you go ahead and kill all the Amalekites. But when God was going to talk, he said, look, Saul has stopped following me. He said, it's the prayer that I made him king. And I was that Samuel cried all night. But what I want us to see is that Saul's disobedience to instruction was the instruction that God gave him through Samuel. Are you following me? And my Proverbs chapter 4 verse 1 says, Proverbs chapter 4 verse 1. Let's look at that. Hear you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to know understanding. You see, instructions will always come from fathers. I follow. When they give those instructions and you obey, they say, here is the instruction of a father. I follow. And then verse, it now goes to say in verse 13, say that hold fast unto instruction, for she is thy life. Are you following me? So you see here, Solomon was talking, said, here is the instruction of a father. And then verse 13 says that hold fast to what? That instruction, for she is thy life. You see, if Saul had obeyed Samuel's instruction, he would not have lost that kingdom. He would not. Because the Bible says that God withdrew his mercy from him. Why? Because it was disobedience. Are you following me? So, you see, we need to, first of all, wholly follow true spiritual fathers by obeying the instructions that they give us. It's very, very important. That's the divine order. That's how it comes down. God gives them instructions, and then when you obey those instructions, then God marks it. Not that you do it your own way. Because they are supposed to come, and they will tell you the way God said they should do it. You can't, you will get, not that we don't get instructions from God, we get instructions here and there in our personal work with God. But see, it's difficult to get distilled instruction at times from God. God will have to send someone to you. That person will now give instructions, this is what God has said. When you now obey those instructions, God counts it as if you are following him. But see, the moment you disobey those instructions, what happens? See, God will say, this person is no longer following me. Why? Because he's no longer obeying the instructions that I've given him. Praise the Lord. So the second aspect, the second point that we need to note is that for us to enjoy these things, to overcome this abiding iniquity by the mercy of God, apart from following spiritual leadership or by obeying the instructions, is to have a constant exercise of our hearts in honesty to obtain mercy and humility. And that mercy and humility we also use the blood, the word, and the spirit to cleanse ourselves from all the impurities of the soul and the body. It's apart from obeying instructions, submission and obeying instructions, you now also exercise yourself. You know, Paul said in the book of Acts chapter 4:24-16, herein do I exercise myself to have a conscience that is void of offense toward God and men. So when they give those instructions, your own part, my own part, is now go ahead and begin to exercise. Practice honesty. Practice humility. Like we said earlier on in the year, say, be brutally honest. When God reveals a truth to you, be brutally honest about that truth. That is the aspect that concerns us. It's not only after taking the instructions, do you not on your own day-to-day walk with God? You now begin to exercise yourself. You speak the truth to yourself in your heart. When you speak to yourself, God, you obey. What happens? There are more mercy is upon your heart. But see, if you disobey or you, like the Bible says, you hold that truth in unrighteousness, in your own daily walk with God, what happens? It hinders the free flow of the mercy of God until you repent. Are you following me? So we need to also receive mercy. And then to also begin to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God in our lives. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20-22. Hebrews 13, the blood. Are we there? Said, now, let's look at now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of what? The everlasting covenant. Everybody say the blood. The blood. It's very important. Pastor has taught us many times. You see, there is no way you can enter into this thing or you can be purified without use of blood of Jesus Christ. It's very important. It's that blood that cleanses you from all sin so you can have access to the life of God. You see, mercy and grace work together. Grace comes from within, mercy from outside. When God reveals the truth to you, what happens? Mercy comes from outside. And when God reveals something to you and you submit in humility, then grace from within. Are you following me? You see, that is very, very important to see the connection between mercy and grace. That's why the Bible says, I think it's over there. It says that sow unto yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. It says, break up what? Your fallow ground. How do you sow to yourself in righteousness? Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how you sort yourself in righteousness. And then when you do that, you reap in what? Mercy. When you do that, God releases mercy from us. As I said, break up your fallow ground. What is the fallow ground? The fallow ground of your heart. That heart that is becoming rebellious or stubborn. I follow. He said, break up your fallow ground. Somewhere in Jeremiah, he also says that. He talks, he said, the house of Judah. He said, don't sow among thorns. You see, these things in the heart, they are like thorns. You know, rebellion, stubbornness, and all that. They're like thorns. So he said, break up your fallow ground. So what? How do we break up our fallow ground? You clean with the blood. Let's say you clean with the blood. And then you also load with the word. The word is very important. That's the second tool that God has given us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Let's go. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is love of God perfected. Let's go. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is what? The love of God perfected. So we use the blood to clean our hearts from every sin and unrighteousness. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So you confess our sins. Lord Jesus Christ goes to operation to cleanse and to remove every impediment of sin. Then you use the blood. Then finally we use the spirit. 1 John chapter 4 verse 12. 1 John chapter 4 verse 12. Let's go. No man has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is what? Perfected in us. Next verse. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. So we use the blood, the word, and the spirit. Two things very important. We follow spiritual authority that God has said, true spiritual leaders, not just anybody. I follow him. These are the ones that give us the keys, the instructions that the Bible says that we should hold fast onto, like we read in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 verses 1 and 13. And after that, on our own daily walk with God, we now begin to operate, you know, honesty of heart, humility of heart, so that mercy can flow. It is that mercy that flows now that softens the hardness of your heart. I follow me. We sow to ourselves righteousness, then we reap in mercy. So mercy comes. So that mercy now is what purges us. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, having therefore this promise, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. So let's read one more scripture before we round up and pray. Acts chapter 24, verse 6. That I mentioned, I want us to read in the book of in Amplified Bible. Acts chapter 24, verse 16, Amplified. Let's read together. Therefore, I always, let's say together in faith. Therefore, I always exercise and discipline myself, mortifying my body, deadening my carnal affections, bodily appetites, and worldly desires, endeavoring in all respects to have what? A clear, unshaken, blameless conscience, void of offense toward God and toward all men. Paul said, I exercise myself. Let's say together, I exercise myself. It's an exercise. All by that, you practice it every day. Honesty of heart to attract the mercy of God. When that truth is revealed unto you, then you submit to it. Very, very important. That is the only way in this end time that you will not be deceived. If you remember in Thessalonians, it says that because they received not the love of the truth, he said God has sent them a great delusion. That spirit, that spirit of lawlessness is operating. But the only way that it will not affect you is if you love or receive the love of the truth. And that love of truth is, like I said earlier on, truth in two ways. Especially the truth concerning salvation. So they receive that love of truth that they might be saved. So when you receive that truth about the perfection of the flesh of Christ, then you are not susceptible to being deceived. If you follow delegated spiritual authority, and then on a day-to-day basis, now begin to exercise yourself, like we read here, in honesty, you are brutally honest about everything. The Bible says, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? He that speaketh the truth in himself. We tell yourself the truth. Something that maybe nobody knows. So, this thing must be true. Then you ask God, please help me. Then God grants you mercy. Praise the Lord. So when we do all these things, then we'll come to pass. The last scripture, as we stand up to pray. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 13. Let's read together as we close. The remnant of Israel shall not do what? Iniquity. That's the word that God has given us. See, the remnant, not everybody. It's just the remnant. The majority are operating under this force of lawlessness. So, but the remnant shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall do what? They shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads to pray and talk to the Lord. It's not a very long message. God have mercy. Let's talk to the Lord. It has been declared that the year of the mercy of God to triumph. We need that mercy to triumph over abounding iniquity. It's very important to receive that mercy to overcome the abounding iniquity. Somewhere in the book of Job, it says that man drinketh iniquity like water. It's a spiritual force. Let's talk to. That's why you see we need to be careful where we go to. Because that force of iniquity is operating to the soul leadership in the church. Jesus Christ said, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. They raised up the dead. They did miracles. They prophesied in his name. They called him Lord. But said, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Paul says in Thessalonians, he says that the work of faith with power. They did not operate in all the miracles they did. They were operating with the force of iniquity, lawlessness. Let's talk to the Lord. What I want us to see is that we need the mercy of God to purge out iniquity. I will have no other gods but you alone. Let's stand to our feet as we pray.
I will bow to no other God but you. I lay down all of my idols and throne I have made, and I give you your place, O Lord.
Let's sing it again. Let's sing it together.
I will have no other God but you alone. I will bow to no other God but you.
I lay down my idols.
I lay down all of my idols and the thrones I have made.
It's a prayer.
In the highest place, O Lord my God,
please make my heart,
make my heart your holy throne, from whence you rule and reign, and let your sovereign will be done in my life.
Respond to the Lord by putting one hand on our heart and lift the other hand unto God. We pray and say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood of Jesus Christ from all unrighteousness. Say, in Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you gave yourself for us, that you might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto yourself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I come to receive mercy. I come to receive grace. In particular, to enable me to obey and to submit to my oversight by obeying the instructions that I may partake in this end time of a spirit without measure. Let's pray in the spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Father.